WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. After several inches of rain in the Northeast, flood warnings are in effect through tomorrow. WCAX-TV's Kat Viglianzoni in Burlington, Vermont.
Relentless rain rose past banks and crept up trucks as tractors plowed ahead through the water. Many roads mangled by floods, waterfalls cascading over their jagged edges. People unable to cross on routes they would take each day. Their mobile homes, sheds, patios, and even pools underwater.
In New York's Hudson Valley, one woman died while trying to evacuate her flooding home. Several homes in the Los Angeles County, California area are destroyed and others tagged as unstable after the ground in a gated community severely shifted, sending homes down a hillside. KCBS-TV's Jasmine Veal.
In Rolling Hills Estates, ripped away from their driveways. Collapsed roofs, belongings just left behind, shattered windows, and a buckled chimney.
Houses just crumbling, disintegrating into each other.
Neighbors watched in disbelief as these buildings on the hillside continue to collapse.
Pennsylvania State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens says there's now a lot of federal help in the search for jail escapee Michael Burham. They think the murder suspect is still in the northwestern Pennsylvania area.
Investigators remain convinced Burham remains in this general area. A total of $9,500 in cash rewards have been offered by the U.S. Marshals and Warren County Crime Stoppers for information leading to Burham's apprehension.
The Kansas Attorney General files a lawsuit against two officials in Governor Laura Kelly's administration after Kelly announced that the state's Motor Vehicles Division would continue changing driver's licenses for transgenders despite a new law. CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The state court judge in Kansas has now blocked transgender persons from changing their gender identity on their driver's licenses while the Attorney General's lawsuit proceeds against state officials who are refusing to honor the new Kansas law that limits gender identity to biological sex as determined at birth.
Las Vegas police officer is set to go on trial over robberies involving casinos. CBS's Jim Krasula explains.
Prosecutors will portray 35-year-old Caleb Rogers as a gambling addict who grew increasingly desperate under a crush of debt. He's accused of stealing some $165,000 in three Las Vegas casino robberies while armed with his police gun.
Ahead of a NATO leader summit in Lithuania that President Biden is attending, the group secretary general announces that Sweden has moved closer to NATO membership after reaching a deal with Turkey's president. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
At Lowe's, we're always bringing pros more ways to save. Right now, get up to 40% off select bathroom faucets and vanities. Plus, buy Southwire Romex simple 12-gauge indoor wire at our everyday low price of $109. Head to your local Lowe's or visit us at Lowe's.com for more deals you can't beat. Because Lowe's knows savings, Lowe's knows pros. Valid 7/6 through 7/12 while supplies last. Selection varies by location, U.S. only.
Wendy's is open till midnight or later, so you can give in to the craving and go night mode. Now all of your favorite menu items just got their bedtime extended. You can get what you want even later, like the Baconator with 6 strips of bacon or the perfect fries and frosty duo. If you're up later, then so are we. So go ahead and pull through the drive-thru. When the craving hits, go night mode at Wendy's. Open till midnight or later. All right, see ya later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Doug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The Wisconsin State Patrol has released the names of the three men who were in a rollover crash on I-39 this weekend. The driver was Andrew Lee Thomas, age 31, of California, who crashed his 2003 Ford Expedition near Plainfield on Sunday. Andrew William Chumley, age 21, from Texas, was transported to a Madison hospital with injuries. Connor Sean McKenzie, age 29, from Alabama, died at the scene. The crash is still under investigation. In Portage County, work on the County Highway R project started today. This is part of a long-range project to improve County Highway R from Double H to State Highway 54. The area is closed to through traffic, and any non-resident traffic should follow the posted detour. The Rafters take on the Madison Mallards at Witter Field tonight, first pitch at 6:05. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until midnight tonight. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 58. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 79. Tomorrow, mainly clear. Lows around 57. Tomorrow night, chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 82.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
The Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they are, and yes, they do, and just a great organization here in Minnesota. And then there's also a 350 organization that's national, too, that they're a part of, too. So it's great to have their support, and we've been supported by them for so many years. Hey, we have Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and Arvina, you're becoming a regular, and I like that.
I like it too. It's fun. We get here, and then it's like 2 minutes, and I'm like, "Hey, we're done."
I know, that's good, and you have so much going on. And I think, you know, with our people, we're Ho-Chunk, and all three of us here are Ho-Chunk, and we just love our homeland and talking about. And it's great to have you on to give us updates what's happening in Wisconsin politically, but also especially with the merge and you being the former, and I always get this wrong, you're a former city council member, but they call it something different in that foreign state of Wisconsin, don't
they? we're known as alders or alder persons, alder women, alder men.
Alder dude.
No. Alder them, I actually kind of like as well, when we get our first non-binary alder person.
Definitely. And you were the first Native American and obviously the first Ho-Chunk to be alder person in Madison, Wisconsin, which to me is one of my favorite all-time cities other than, you know, where I live right now in the Twin Cities. But I love Madison.
It's a great town. This is where I grew up. You know, I live in the neighborhood that I grew up in with my mom and previously with my dad before he passed. And, you know, it's just, this is my home, and I've tried to move away for other things. And every time Madison calls me back, I'm supposed to be here. So I love it here.
Yeah. And it's just great things. Well, let's talk a little bit. We've been kind of mumble jumbling in the last few days after Governor Evers did this awesome thing, a little what did Bush used to call it, trickery going on here in Wisconsin, but in a good way. And I just a former high school teacher myself, just really happy to hear this news. And I wonder if you could give us a little more clarity on it, because I think I stumbled through it and mumbo jumbled it, but we were happy as heck when we were talking about it last week.
Oh, absolutely. So governors in Wisconsin actually have the most expansive partial veto power in the country, because they're able to, they can strike out any part of a budget bill, which means that they can take out words, letters, numbers, and create new policy in a sense, out of the words that the legislature has that passed and then sent to them. And I want to make it very clear that this is not a new thing at all. Governor Evers managed to increase funding for public schools to continue to increase for 400 years by crossing out numbers and letters in succession in order to make it work out like that. But he's not the first. Governor Scott Walker did the same thing. They called it the 1,000-year veto. And he struck funding from a particular program. It happened so long ago, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he did the same kind of action. So it makes it really hard then for Republicans to say, oh, you know, the precedent is there. You know, it's happened once before, and it happened because one of their guys, and I don't like referring to like us and them when it comes to government officials, because, you know, it should be for people doing this for all of us. Right. You know, this is not without precedent, and this is precedent that the other side has used to change the intent of what legislators had passed in order to support his own legislative or policy initiatives. So it's happened again, and it's been held up. So
is that $300 or is it $400 per student? Does that happen every year for the next 400 years, or is that just $300 per student last 400 years? I'm not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah. So it was $325, I believe, per student. Sitting here going back and looking at my notes. And then it will grow by $325 each year.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one.
So an increase by 2033 would mean an additional $3,575 per student. Okay. So throughout the next decade, it just keeps adding.
Well, that's better than not adding, because I know Wisconsin and Minnesota, when I was young, and I'm much younger than both of you, Haley, and you know, and I'm old enough to be Haley's grandfather, but Minnesota and Wisconsin were the beacon of education at one time in the 70s and 80s. People came all over the country to see how we were doing it. And then we slowly, I think the Reagan era really helped us out, but we slowly got defunded each year. And it's like, we're struggling, and we haven't had, you know, money per student in a long time here. And it sounds like great action in Wisconsin, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. And Wisconsin, yeah, as you're right. Wisconsin has always been very strong in our public school educations, public school educations. I just showed my no public school education has always been such an important part of life here in Wisconsin. One of the first schools in Wisconsin, and the first woman to teach public school, was a Stockbridge Muncie woman by the name of Electa Quinney.
Wow.
You know, so she, and the UW Milwaukee has a whole kind of part of their university, the Electa Quinney Institute, talking about education. We shouldn't be surprised that our public school teacher and administrator governor was able to creatively add funding to kind of restore the damage that's been done by cuts and charter schools and being able to take money away and authority away from, say, the public schools in the Milwaukee public school system. You know, the Republicans just want to see public education done away with. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud that our governor was able to creatively get some of that funding back. And so all of our kids have a fair shake and are able to be educated and able to succeed and support, you know, support themselves and help support, you know, us as they go forward. I mean, public education is really the linchpin of the whole democratic system. So
absolutely. It's the game changer. It's the equalizer. I think, too, one of the things, and again, I'm old, so like my first election that I was able to vote in was for Jimmy Carter in 1980 against Ronald the Ray Gun. And he was a union buster, and the teachers union here in Minnesota and I imagine in Wisconsin are super duper strong. And when he became president, 56% of the workers in the United States were union workers. That's down to like, I think I read 20%, which is the big plan, you know, to less rights for us and less rights for workers.
Absolutely. And just want to shout out, send a plug in about my organization, Emerge Wisconsin. We are also unionized, part of the SEIU network. So big supporter of unions and labor.
That's perfect. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, and we are talking Wisconsin/Minnesota politics. See how we switch that around today? And that's good because we have a lot of listeners that are, and we want our neighbors to be good neighbors, just like we're trying to be here in Minnesota. So it's great news. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Even though the public COVID-19 emergency might be over, it's still important to stay up to date on vaccinations. And if you're like most people, you probably need a refresher on who should get vaccinated and when. So here's the bottom line. If you're 6 years or older, aim for that one updated COVID-19 vaccine. It doesn't matter if you've had a previous vaccine or not. You're still in the game. Now, if you're 65 or older, you've got the green light for one extra dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Just wait 4 months after your first updated dose, and you're good to go. And for the little ones, children between 6 months and 5 years may need multiple doses, including at least one of the updated vaccines, based on their age and previous doses. Remember, always stay informed and reach out to healthcare professionals for personalized guidance. Didn't catch all of that? You can find all of the updated COVID vaccine information at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
With Monique Uluzama Pimaia.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Arvina and Martin, and we're talking, just having our normal conversation. It's always good to talk to another Ho-Chunk. And, I really enjoy our conversations. I feel a lot of positive energy. I want, and this is a thing when Wendy's on, she always sends me a note, says, let them talk about what they want to talk about. And this is your opportunity. I'd like to hear maybe some updates on Emerge or what's happening in Wisconsin or anything you'd like to talk about this segment, because I have a question for next segment. Oh,
hey. Yeah. Well, we have just completed our first program year, my first program year as Emerge Wisconsin's executive director. The class of 2023 had their last training session a couple of weeks ago. So we have a small but absolutely mighty, thoughtful, and strong class of women who are ready to take on the world and to run for office. And you know what? I'm actually really, really proud that they are the first class of Emerge Wisconsin who has had a very specific training in what I call Tribes 101. And Robert, at the state Wisconsin State Party Democratic Convention, you got a taste of what the class of 2023 got to experience. Theirs was a bit longer because we had, it's hard to squeeze everything into 1 hour, but we, had to do it for convention. Now Emerge Wisconsin graduates are going to come out with an idea and an understanding of what tribal sovereignty means and why it's important to work with tribal governments on all kinds of issues that either they may normally think of, say, oh yeah, we've got to talk to tribes about this, but other issues that maybe they wouldn't think of, maybe issues and things like transportation infrastructure or, other infrastructure and management and things beyond just cultural preservation or gaming. Excuse me. So, I think that that's really exciting. And I really see the desire from Democrats to understand why working with tribes is different than working with other groups of people. We're going to get ready for our graduation, and I'm planning our summer recruiting because we are going to be opening up our applications this on Labor Day, which is very, very exciting. I'm hoping to see a lot of diverse folks apply, lots of people from, up north in Wisconsin. We need you. We need strong Democratic women to run for offices like school board. We need women to run for their city councils, town councils, village boards, county boards. And all of those elections are going to come up in spring of 2023, and they're coming up fast. And, wow. I'm also working with some of our partner organizations to introduce them so that they can start creating authentic relationships with tribal governments within tribal communities so that our people are represented at every level of government and not just tribal government.
Do you remember the question I asked you?
Oh, boy, I didn't. I just started talking.
No, not that question. Oh. I meant that when you did the 101. I'm sorry, I wasn't.
About land acknowledgments.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think that's an interesting point because it's been a really kind of hip happening thing here in the last 5-6 years. And I want you to answer that.
Yeah, no, I think that people need to change the way they think about land acknowledgements. I think there are a lot of people that want to do good things, but think that just saying we exist on an area that was maintained or where, tribe A, B, or C and C have lived and think that that's enough. And I want people to stop thinking about it as an end result and think about it as the first step. Acknowledging is great, but what are you going to do going forward? You know, whether you know, are you going to, if you are, say, a municipality, are you going to then use that as a jumping off point to have a solid consultation relationship with the tribe that you know, were caretakers of the land where you reside now? If you are a business, what does that mean? What can you do to give back to the tribe whose lands you now occupy? Right. You know, and that if you're not going to do it, if you're not going to do it right, then, you know, just going in and doing it part way isn't enough. And I think that people need to change the way that they think about what a land acknowledgement is.
Well, they stopped asking me to do land acknowledgements because mine was always, give us our land back. Thank you very much. yeah, that's cool. And sometimes it's I guess what I want to say, it's not enough just to acknowledge it. And that's kind of what you're saying. And I want to just say that because sometimes... and maybe not the people's fault that are giving or hearing or asking somebody to do the land acknowledgement, you feel better and then you just move on and then nothing really happens. And
exactly. No functional change, no change in operations. It's still the status quo. But then you're acknowledging that the status quo is not sufficient, you know?
Yeah.
This sucks, but...
Yeah.
We acknowledge that it sucks.
Yeah, exactly. So let me just back up just a second here about Emerge Wisconsin. Is there information you can give to our listening audience? Because we're all over civic media in Wisconsin, too, on how to contact you, website, Facebook, all those great things. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah. If you live in Wisconsin or are interested in what we're doing here in Wisconsin, you can go to our website. It's wi.emergeamerica.org or look us up on Facebook. We are there and across social media. You can Google us there. If you are in another state and are wondering about the program and if there is an Emerge affiliate where you live, you can go to emergeamerica.org or Google Emerge, whatever your state's name is, and find out information on, you know, first of all, you have an Emerge affiliate in your state, if you do, you know, what the timeline is for their trainings. And, you know, the trainings that we offer are so substantial. You know, you can go to organizations that do a great job of trying to condense everything into maybe a day or a few hours. But this is a 6-month training. And so it allows us to go more in depth and talk about things that are scary. I mean, talking about fundraising is a whole weekend because there's so much stigma. And I think about how we as Native people are socialized to think about asking for help financially. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to ask people to part with their money when they're things that they need to give, and the things that they need in order to just get through life. And talking about, you know, how asking for fundraising or asking for funds for your election and your candidacy is not just, you know, asking for money, just period. That's asking for support for you and what you believe in and how you can make things better for everybody. And it's a really hard, it's very, very difficult. And I admit to still having problems, you know, internally, asking for money. So
what's interesting too. So how did you get your start? Was Emerge part of your story too? Or
oh,
how did
absolutely.
You hear? Oh, let's hear that.
Yeah. So I started working in politics. I was actually an intern when all of the Act 10 stuff happened, with Governor Walker taking away, you know, collective bargaining rights from workers in public sector unions. And things just changed immediately. And the recall started. I started working as...
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. Kids from Wisconsin are performing in Wisconsin Rapids tonight. The Traveling Show Choir Troupe celebrates their 55th summer season at the Performing Arts Center with their show, Starstruck, at 7 p.m. They're holding a Stuff the Bus food collection to support our Focus food pantry. You can drop off food donations from noon until 7 p.m. in the Lincoln High School parking lot. When the doors open at the PAC, you can drop off your donations in the lobby on your way to see the show. Dozens of employees held a strike outside of the Leinenkugel Brewery in Chippewa Falls. Teamsters Union Local 662 said that over 40 workers were part of the strike demanding better wages. Molson Coors, who owns Leinenkugel's, said it made an offer that was better than unionized rates for similar jobs and that it doesn't expect the strike to impact its retail business. A spokesperson for the union said it's the first strike at the brewery since the 1980s. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Please join the leadership team from Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or seller. So please tune in on Tuesday afternoons at 3:30 where we'll be highlighting all things real estate.
Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors is your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday afternoon at 3:30 right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
It's not just about the barrels in construction. Highway projects are community investments. So do your part. Stay alert, eliminate distractions, and mind your speed. Every driver makes a difference. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until midnight tonight. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 58. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 79. Tomorrow, mainly clear. Lows around 57. Tomorrow night, chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 82.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
We were talking a little bit about Emerge Wisconsin, and it's always really great to have you on. Time really flies. But I was at the end of the last segment, I was kind of mentioning our sister, Charisse, and she didn't go through your program, but she was a fellow, right?
Yeah, she did a stint as a White House fellow out in D.C. and learned a lot. She really kicked Sheench out there. Oh, wow.
Hey, so you're an old friend with her. Not mm-hmm. not old, I should say, a longtime friend. There we go.
Yeah.
And so let's touch base a little bit about her, because I don't know if especially our people here in Minnesota know much about her.
You know, she is again, former White House fellow. She is an attorney, and she also is a former mixed martial arts fighter, and she has quite an entrepreneurial spirit and has started businesses, mm-hmm. and she just, she's so dynamic and kind of is able to kind of have her, you know, she's able to do so much, mm-hmm. Which is remarkable considering how many people in, you know, not just her constituents in Kansas, but, right. you know, she kind of represents a lot of us here as a Native people, as a Native woman, mm-hmm. as a member of the LGBTQ community, right. You know, she really means a lot to a lot of different people.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it's just great to support her and see that she was reelected. And because mm-hmm. we always worry about these, you know, purple states or red states that gerrymander us right out of the race. And I just want to give a quick shout out to Trisha Zunker, too, because I think in Wisconsin that she got a gerrymander. I mean, I don't know. Can I put it like this? Is that the person that she was going up against who ended up winning, and she really picked up a lot of votes and made it closer to ever been or it had been in a long time in that gerrymandered district. She was up against somebody that's literally crazy. Can I say that on the air?
Yeah, I think you can. It's your show.
Oh, that's right. Ooh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, well, that district was designed to keep the incumbent in office, and Trisha took on a huge, you know, this was not just I'm going to decide to run for Congress. This is, I am going to decide to run for Congress. And, you know, we've talked about fundraising and the mm-hmm. difficulties with that. She raised so much money in a very, very difficult seat. Mm-hmm. And she worked her behind off. Mm-hmm. She really did a great job and really tried to build coalitions of people that were not being heard, right. and are still not being heard by their current congressmen. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me, she really did a fantastic job. And you know, sometimes you talk about if you're running in a race, you know, what does a win look like that maybe isn't just winning the race? Mm-hmm. And I think that she was able to show viability of people in an extreme gerrymandered district, and as a female candidate and as a Native candidate, you know, showed that mm-hmm. the work can be done.
Yeah, and a Ho-Chunk candidate.
And a Ho-Chunk candidate at that, too.
Exactly. So, you know, we're talking about the diversity of what Charisse has done over the years, but I don't know if I should bring this up, but I want to bring this up. You have I don't know if it's a hobby or if it's a community or if it's a way of life, but you are a roller person.
Yeah, it's all of those things. It is all of those things. Yeah, I play roller derby. I'm currently rehabbing and getting myself back into shape to play. I broke my foot the Ooh. Day before Election Day last year, and then had some issues with the walking boot that caused that then kind of did some damage to my hips. So I've been rehabbing and trying to get my skate legs back. Hopefully I'll be skating in games soon. Under my derby name is Donna Stunner. I unabashedly love and unironically love disco music. So the Queen of Disco is who I took my derby name and my inspiration from. But I've been skating, you know, I started skating maybe 12 years ago, wow. I think. Yeah. Yeah.
And so what position are you? Because aren't there, if I remember right, because I watched it as a kid on TV. And so are you a point scorer or a blocker? What are what is the terminology?
Yeah, I would be a blocker. We have three positions. There's blockers. There are jammers. Jammers are the ones that go and score points, and pivots are the ones that are, they're blockers. But if your jammer gets into a bind and needs to, we call pass the star because her helmet cover has a star on it.
Yeah.
You know, pass that helmet cover to her pivot, and then her pivot can then take over. So pivots have to be good blockers and jammers. I like blocking, like getting in the way and like, you know, just destroying some jammer's dreams of getting through. Just, you know, it's kind of like being on on the line and in football, you know, offensive or defensive line, and you just got to grind in there and just, like I said, instead of a running back, it's a jammer, and you've just got to kill her dreams of getting through. And we have to play offense and defense at the same time.
Wow.
So this is the only sport that does that. So, you know, while we're sitting there and not sitting there, but while we're playing and trying to hold their jammer back, there's four blockers, including the pivot. Sometimes we have to then go and help our jammer out and get her out and go play offense so she can get through the pack and come around for another scoring pass.
So what is it, a time limit, and is it what's a typical score, and how long does it last? And I want to ask, where can people watch you do this?
Oh my goodness. So we divide the game of derby into two halves. They're 30-minute halves, and a jam is what we call like a segment of play. A jam lasts up to 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And if your jammer gets out of the pack first and completely legally, she gets awarded lead jammer status, and she can call off the jam at any point. So, you know, if she's jamming against somebody who, you know, they know she's the other jammer is a top scorer, and you get through and score some quick points, then you tap on your hips and the jam ends. So you can try to shut her out from the other scorer from scoring.
So yeah. Being the disco person, do you ever get to say a whamma jamma?
Oh, I'm going to start.
I'm best whamma jamma. I don't remember who, but that's a disco song from the
70s. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And then where can people see you do this?
Well, definitely wherever you are, Google roller derby in your area. There are women's leagues. There are also men's leagues. There are also gender inclusive leagues that let everybody play. And I've played games against women. I've played games against men. I've played men or mixed leagues, and they're all a little bit different. So I would start by Googling that. Or looking up the Women's Flat Track Derby Association and seeing if there's any teams in your area. And you can either watch or come out and play. You know, this is a sport that you know, doesn't require a particular body type. You know, you can be big and tall and strong. You can be small and wiry and strong. And they're just, you know, it's a sport that's a lot more inclusive than a lot of other sports.
So are you, is it a part of the, I can't remember the name of the team in St. Paul, but there's a St. Paul team, and I know they've been on the show over the years, and they're down at the Roy Wilkins. It's pretty nice size place for a roller derby.
And well known as the best venue in the country for roller derby. The Roy is very, very well known. That's where the Minnesota Roller Derby League skates. I hope someday to be able to play in a game there. Fingers crossed. I still have time left in my career before my knees give out.
Oh, geez. But yeah, that's amazing. And so again, you know, it's part of being in touch with who you are and being physical, and that helps with your emotional all those things, right?
Oh, absolutely. It is the best stress relief, being able to knock around. First of all, being able to skate and being on wheels and just feeling the way you do when you skate, but also being able to just go in and give your all and be strong and hit your best friends in a very consensual manner. And in a way, when you knock your bestie on the ground, she gets up and be like, "That hurt. That was awesome. Awesome. Great job."
So is that a once a week thing? Because that sounds pretty physical. I mean, like, football is once a week, you know, baseball is many days because people don't throw the ball at you anymore or tackle you anymore like they did in the 1800s.
Yeah, well, you know, it really depends on the league. Once a week, I mean, it's kind of cost prohibitive to play actual games that often. Mm-hmm. We may practice 3 times a week.
Oh.
And again, a lot of it is based on costs of venues and practice space, rink space, and everything. But maybe once a month, or going to a tournament and playing like 4 games in a weekend. Wow. Which is a lot.
That is. I want to watch this. This is great.
You'll have to come when I make my return to the
track. Right on. We'll have to do a live show.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Hey, thanks so much for stopping in. It's always our pleasure here to hear the great news of what's happening in Wisconsin, but also really with your work in Emerge Wisconsin, and keep that going, because inch by inch it's a cinch, yard by yard it's hard, and you're in the right direction. And being an alumni, wow, it's just I really appreciate having you on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Hey, up next, Wendy with our Sacred Animal section. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable 2-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Attention, Native American community. We've come a long way in our fight against COVID-19. The emergency declaration may be over, but our responsibility to stay vigilant remains. It is crucial to remember that the virus is still among us, and we must continue to prioritize our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. Besides getting vaccinated, let's not forget the basics when we're around people who are still vulnerable to COVID-19. Wear your mask, wash your hands regularly, and take an at-home COVID-19 test if you have any symptoms. We've shown incredible strength and resilience throughout history, and we will triumph over this challenge as well. Let's honor our ancestors by taking care of one another and keeping our communities safe. Together, let's navigate uncertain times with courage and unity. Stay informed, stay safe, and remember that our actions today will shape a brighter future for our Native community. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Delaying,
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Oik, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How?
Good one. Hey, let's get going, Wendy. I got my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot, and Wendy talks about our sacred animals here on Native Roots Radio, and I'm really looking forward to what you have prepared for us. Welcome, Wendy.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. So I was in the basement yesterday, and I don't know if you want to hear this or not, but I saw one of those creepy centipedes.
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing, though.
I know. So one of those centipedes that go really, really fast, and they have a million legs, and they're really squirmy. But here's an article, and it's exactly what you just said, Robert. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Why you should never kill a house centipede if you find one in your house.
I get him out of the sink. Free them, you know, because they get stuck.
Oh, they get stuck in the sink?
Slippery.
Oh, okay. So really, the centipedes often appear in dark, humid places. Often one finds them in the bathroom or basement, and nearly anyone would immediately want to squish them or run.
Boo.
But honestly, when maybe I see them, I still really, I get the creeps, right? I know some of the things that make centipedes so terrifying to use are what make them efficient tools against other pests, right? They're fast and agile. Centipedes are helpful against other insects. So with its many legs and quick movements, a centipede is a scary thing to find in your bathroom in the middle of the night. You will find it less scary when it lessens the number of roaches, spiders, and ants in your home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So centipedes.
I like the roaches.
Yeah.
Our sacred centipede portion of the show.
No. Well, you know, it's important not to kill them.
Right.
So centipedes eat all of these insects and also have a strong appetite, meaning they're almost guaranteed to help prevent other pest problems.
Mm.
Yeah. So some might still want to rid them. So what they want you to do is catch them in a container and bring them outside and put them someplace like on a rock or something where it's humid, and they'll keep doing their job while they're outside.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. But house centipedes, unlike their relatives, are not poisonous and cannot even bite human skin.
Ooh.
The tiny amount of venom they do produce can only hurt the small prey that they are so useful in eliminating. So I didn't know that they had venom in them, but they do. But yeah, isn't that crazy?
Super crazy.
I know. So I did see one the other day and I was like, oh, I can't kill it. And I just left it. Of course, I couldn't catch it because it goes so fast and then it, you know, runs over underneath something and then you can never find it. But they say in another article that I read that once it rids itself of other pests in your house, like if you have ants or spiders or, you know, roaches or whatever, they'll leave. Like they'll go somewhere, they'll leave. So
pack up their bags and
they do. They'll move away. They'll go to somewhere else where they could find stuff to eat.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the other day I wanted to talk to you about cat headbutts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what does it mean and why do cats do it? So I have this article here. It's back written by Jane A. Kelly back in October 27th, 2020. But she says, I don't know about you, but one of my favorite feline gestures is the cat headbutt. Does Lucy a headbutt?
You know, I tried a headbutt her and she won't headbutt me back.
Yeah.
She's more into talking to me and yelling at me.
Yeah. So this woman here said her own cat, Tara, headbutts her constantly when she's sitting on top of me. And half the time she knocks my glasses off my face when she does it. I don't mind the temporary inconvenience because I know what the cat headbutt means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So first, what does the cat headbutt look like? The cat head, the cat headbutt is not when cats stick their heads into other cats' butts. Although that could be another amusing definition. When the cat headbutts, she taps her head against you and rubs her cheeks along whatever body part she's near. Cats also headbutt objects like walls, chairs, and furniture. So why does the cat headbutt me, and what does it mean? So cats have scent glands all over their bodies, and they use them to leave marks on objects, including you.
Oh.
Yeah, according to cat behaviorist Pam Johnson Bennett, cat headbutting is typically used for bonding and social purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the cat to place his face so close to yours and engage in this bonding behavior is quite an act of trust, she says. Johnson Bennett also explains that this behavior is more properly called cat bunting.
Oh.
Yeah, people often inaccurately think that the cat headbutt is just a means of marking territory, but it's a lot more than that. Scent communication is complex, and while cats do use scent to mark their territory, cat bunting can also be used to create familiarity and show respect.
I always wanted to use that sound effect.
Yeah, that's a good one. You have a couple more on that thing, don't you?
That's when we get boring.
That's when we get boring in the sink. Yeah. So Johnson Bennett also says that cat head bunting or butting may be attention-seeking behavior, particularly if your cat butts its head against you and then tucks it down or turns to its side.
Oh.
Yeah. Do cats head butt other cats as well as people? Yes, they do. In fact, you'll often see feline friends rub one another with their heads. Not only does it create a colony scent, it helps the bonding as well. It's a measure of deep trust for another cat to put her head so close to one of her feline companions. So if you see your cat headbutt another cat, know that that means that they are buddies. Cat bunting is also seen in wild cats. So it's something that also that comes to cats naturally through evolution.
Dog wants some attention.
Yeah, so there's somebody walking outside and I have the window open here. So why do some cats headbutt and others don't? Every cat is different. So don't worry if your cat doesn't headbutt you or your fellow felines. There's a lot of variation and the frequency and intensity of the headbutt. And there are tons of other ways that cats show affection.
Oh.
So, yeah. There's also something that people get confused by. So they want, they're saying here, don't confuse a head pressing for head butting. Yeah. So head pressing is when the cat presses her head against a wall or a piece of furniture relentlessly.
Huh.
Yeah. Often accompanied by abnormal vocalization or other odd behaviors like circling or a disorientation. Cat head pressing is a manifestation of a neurological disorder.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so don't get that confused. So our cat Lucy, sometimes like she'll, come really close to us. I don't really remember her head butting me, but I'm gonna try our cat Lucy and see. But she is very affectionate, and I know that she trusts us a lot. So,
oh, totally. We've had her since she was little.
Months old. She's 17.
Mm.
Yeah, she's doing really well.
Giving her fluids.
We gave her subcutaneous fluids once a week because she has kidney failure, but she's doing really great. She's stable and she's doing well.
Hey, Wendy, I want to thank Arvinia Martin to stopping by in a course with you with the sacred animal section and what is it? Sacred centipede section.
Yeah,
this
don't
week.
Kill your house centipedes.
Right.
They will do you your house good.
Hey, thanks for listening. And then
hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the WFHR Alzheimer's Association.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM. From